Hi there. I'm here today with a friend of mine that I've known for a few years. He is an entertainer, a street performer, a professional street performer. But as of today, which is early May when we're recording this, he probably hasn't been working for over a month, maybe more. And I've known him through mutual friends and through a bowling league that we're both in. But why don't you introduce yourself and tell us a little bit about what you are supposed to be doing and what you're not doing.
Okay. Well, I'm going to start off with my name. I'll give you my professional name. That's Laffy Pants. You can call me Laffy. All my friends call me Laffy Pants. You can call me Laffy. I won't give you my government name for now. But I am a performer. Not so much on the streets anymore. I like to keep it corporate if I can. It pays a little more than busking on a curb. Do everything from birthday parties to corporate events. I also have a SAG card, so I do a lot of TV and movie stuff too. Basically, I'm a clown for hire, circus freak for rent. As of course, no functions are happening right now. The industry shut down. I haven't worked since March. The last bit of work I did was for a TV show called Holy Moly. It's a game show. Look for it on ABC or CBS or one of those networks. Anywho, yeah, I haven't worked. I did get a stimulus check. Wow. I got a letter stating that I was going to get it direct deposited, and I ended up getting a paper check, which is nice. I like getting the analog old style stuff. It's pretty cool. And then I got a letter today, weirdly enough. He showed up today, and I got a letter today from the IRS saying again that I was going to get a direct deposit of $1,200. So I'm hoping for the double dose, the extra bonus burger. That would be nice to get the double deal from Double Deal and Donnie. That'd be killer. We'll see, though. Remains to be seen. It certainly would be great. You're not going to give us the IRS, are you?
No. And they're not going to look for Laffy Pants Clown.
You'd be surprised what kind of red flags the name Laffy Pants will raise.
What would you be doing now if there was no pandemic?
Now, this would be the start of the carny season. On the side, I do a little job I like to call my carny biz, which is basically I'm a pitch man. I go to the county fairs and the state fairs, and I sell landfill to marks. Well, as seen on TV stuff, I'm basically like a ShamWow type of guy, and that's some bread and butter in the summer. In between doing that, I do a lot of company picnics, a lot of family parties, a lot of festivals, 4th of July events, parades, etc., etc.
What's been the favorite thing that you've done that is a little bit off your beaten path? Like you said that you are a corporate performer. You'll do these corporate gigs.
Right.
But would you say that the fairs are a little non-traditional for you?
No. I mean, really, that works more common than, say, the industry work, like getting a good TV show that's a union gig. That's kind of far and few between these days. That industry's kind of dried up as far as union work, since there's so much internet stuff going on. A lot of that's under the radar, under the union radar. So the last thing I did was off the beaten path. It was a union job for that game show I was on called Holy Moly. And it was actually quite enjoyable. I got to pie quite a few people in the face, and they paid me handsomely for it. It was a dream job. If I could pie a bunch of marks in the face every day of my life for my union day rate, I'd do nothing else for the rest of my days.
Explain to those who may not be familiar with slapstick comedy what you refer to as to pie.
Oh, to pie somebody in the face. Well, it's just what it is. You grab preferably a cream pie, a meringue, or a heavy cream. In this case, we were using just plain whipped cream because it was, on TV and doesn't really have to be a legitimate pie. And you basically take said pie and either slam it directly into somebody's face or throw it from a short distance into said face. I've also pied asses and, other body parts, but this show is strictly in the face.
Have you ever done that to anyone that we may know that is well known or somewhat famous?
I pied any famous people. I did pie, I don't know how famous he is, but I pied Garth Kemp. He's a weather guy in L.A. He used to do a show called INLA, kind of like a human interest story show, like Bart's People from The Simpsons. And I got to pie Garth Kemp in the face in front of the train ride line at Griffith Park. It was pretty fun.
Did he know it was coming or was this?
No, he did not. I gave him something to read. He was doing a story on clowns because it was some thing on that INLA show about LA's cool jobs. And I gave him this little card that was said the Clown Code of Ethics, which is kind of bullshit, but it's, you know, it's this little commandments list of how to operate as a clown. And as he was reading it, I kind of keyed the cameraman to get the shot. And it turned out great. In fact, when it aired on the show, they did a super slow-mo of me, you know, broad smiling, just pieing this weather guy in the face. Weather calls for lots of meringue.
Oh, that's
cloudy
great.
With a chance of coconut cream.
That's perfect. That's the way you do it.
It was fun. It was fun. He was a good sport about it. You know, he didn't mind. I handed him a clown hanky, and he was able to save a little face. But he dug it. He was a good guy. Some people don't like getting pie. Those people on the game show didn't dig it. The Australian version that we did a couple different days shooting, and the Australian version was way more brutal. Like, the Australian producer just said, you know what, don't give them towels and just pie them. Like, the American producer's like, don't lay into them. We don't want any broken noses. We don't want any whiplash. Take it easy. The Australian guy was like, no, mate. You know, dig in. Let them have it. You know, no towels. So there's the one lady who was called the No Fear Mom or something like that. She was some soccer mom. She didn't like getting pied, and she tried to duck one of the pies when she missed a putt. So the next pie I gave her had to be two, of course, because she didn't get the full brunt of the previous pie. So I gave her what I call the marching band symbols technique. Where you take, you guys know, you can picture that.
Of course.
She was not happy. It's going to take a lot of Q-tips.
I can only imagine.
Yeah.
I can only imagine. Do you remember when you first heard about the pandemic or coronavirus, or did you just kind of dismiss
it? Yeah,
it
was right before the bowling tournament. And at first I did dismiss it. It was a bowling tournament and nobody was wearing masks. It was for the 4th of July, or the St. Patrick's Day Nardcore tournament up in Simi Valley. And a lot of people didn't go. A lot of teams canceled, all the bands canceled. You know, you organized it. And I myself was going to maybe not go because my girlfriend at the time said, you know, you probably not go. There's a lot of people. Everybody's shoving holes in hands in holes, and there's balls, all dirty balls everywhere. You're going to, you know, come home and affect the kids. But I went anyway because I was like, yeah, this can't be that bad. It's probably another media, you know, blow it out of proportion bullshit, you know, deal. So I remember exactly. That was the last day pretty much of freedom was the bowling tournament. After that, I pretty much went into lockdown. That was around March 15th. And I know my last day of work was that Friday, so March 14th or 13th was my last day of work at the bowling tournament, and that was it. That was it. Now we're still here.
When you realized that you were now not doing anything except staying at home or maybe going out for essentials, what did that feel like at first? Probably didn't make a difference at first, but now we're at least a month into it.
Yeah, no, we're about two and a half months almost now, 2 months into it. And at first it was kind of like, well, yeah, for the last couple of years, I've been kind of low on work anyway. So it kind of didn't make that big of a difference as far as being at home. And I'm kind of a homeboy anyway. I'm a little older these days. I don't go out that much. I'm a bar hopper anyway. And my gal was able to work from home during this. So I was like, oh, we still got income. I'm still getting checks from the TV show I just did. This goes for a couple months. We'll be fine. It's going to be like a two-month staycation at home. We'll get some projects done, work on some cars. You know, work on my portfolio, do whatever I need to do around the house. And my gal worked at home for about a month, and then she got laid off. And then she was able to say, well, now I'm able to do a lot of projects. So for the first month, it was kind of a breeze. We did it on our heads. It was easy. There's lots of stuff to do around the house. Easy, easy, easy. And then the second month head in, and we're okay, well, now the mirror is my girl's, you know, off of work. We can work together doing some stuff, maybe take a bike ride here and there, enjoy some home time, cook some meals, quality time with the kids, you know, that kind of stuff. But now after like the third month has come in, I'm still not really that, I don't have cabin fever, there's no shining going on here, it's not that bad. Other than the, you know, occasional bickering, things aren't that really hectic. It's just the economic uncertainty, like how long can we string this out? I haven't received any unemployment checks. I don't know if I ever will. I haven't gotten back from EDD. They haven't gotten back to me about, you know, as a 1099 gig employee. That stuff's going to be the last to get paid out if it even does get paid out. My girlfriend, same thing. She's makes okay money, and she's been granted the full amount of unemployment benefits, but we're yet to see any of them. So other than the economic uncertainty, we're doing fine. I mean, it's like being retired. I could live like this forever. I got projects on my list till the day I die, you know, either artistic, musical, mechanical, you know, anything. I got projects galore, exercise, you name it. I mean, there's all kinds of stuff that you can do to occupy your day. I mean, even books for that matter to catch up on. So I'm not too worried about the not having the work part. It's just not getting the money part that I'm worried about.
What do you miss most about life before we all had to pretty much remain in place?
Seeing friends, probably. Playing music. I'm in a couple bands, so playing music is definitely being missed. And I get to jam with my stepson. He plays bass. I play drums. He's learning guitar, so we've been jamming. That's been kind of fun. Been learning some Rush songs because I got the time. That's pretty funny. We were cranking out some YYZ the other day. Not easy, man. I mean, I'm a kind of a knock it out punk rock, you know, banging rocks on coconuts kind of drummer. But learning the Rush has been a little bit of a challenge, which is good. You know, it's forced me to kind of revisit some rudiments and shit. But I do miss, yeah, going out, seeing friends. Definitely miss bowling. Definitely miss playing music. And I miss getting out to the nature, you know, going to hike in the woods or I know I can go do it, but I don't want to be one of those guys that's a part of that whole thing where they're like, okay, we're easing up on the trails. Now there's like 50,000 yahoos forcing their way onto a trail that normally didn't even walk. They just do it now because they think that, oh, I'm free to do it, so I better go do it now because I never did it before. And then there's, you know, a bunch of schmucks trampling on, you know, on the poppies. You know, so I didn't even call out some friends on Facebook. I'm like, would you just get your fat asses off the poppies, please? Everybody's taking pictures of themselves laying on the poppies during the pandemic. It's like, why don't you eat a few while you're at it? You know, you're going to stomp on them.
Yeah, it's kind of not the point. You're supposed to enjoy them, not destroy them.
Well, they're taking their pictures with their kids. They're laying across the poppies like some scene from The Wizard of Oz. Fuck off. I even told a friend. She's like, well, we didn't even really step on any of them. I'm like, well, what if every other person, not every person, every other person in L.A. took their family up to the poppies and laid and took a picture? They'd be like, have the poppies. It'd be gone. It'd be trampled. It'd be a wasteland up there. So I'm not going to go out and do that shit till it's for real lifted and everything's cool. Then I'll go back and ride my bike down the beach path or take a hike up into the Hollywood Hills or wherever the fuck I want to. Verdugo Hills is the closest trail if I got to here. And those are crowded, actually, believe it or not.
I have noticed people bickering back and forth on Facebook. I try to stay out of it.
God, yeah.
Because we're stuck at home and people were always on Facebook when it wasn't like an all-day thing.
Right.
But now it can be an all-day thing. So I think it's weighing on a lot of people.
Yeah.
I just stay away from it. I don't read news that is associated with Facebook unless it's like a celebrity who has passed away or something that I know is real. Because everyone will come up with some wackadoo source of some news that isn't real or, you know, made up or clickbait or whatever. I can't deal with it anymore. They're always trying to argue their point that they're right.
Of course. Yeah.
And that, at this point, is too much for me.
Well, you know, I don't know shit. And that's my stance usually online. Because you can say that you know something, but it's what you know by reading other people's stuff. And I got kind of political yesterday. I put up a post of a friend of mine that I know from high school who was in the honors program, brilliant kid. When he was doing side stuff, he would like come up with curriculum above our curriculum, like stuff that was college curriculum in high school. Ended up going on to Case Western Reserve to do his undergrad, UC Berkeley for his PhD in microbiology. So I trust what that guy has to say as far as how pandemics and how viruses behave. I get another friend online who's just this avid guy of like, this is just a flu. This is just a government test to see how much they can control you, yada. You know, that's the two sides of the spectrum. There's a pure science of people who are in the know, meaning that they've worked in science. This guy's 50 years old. He's had a PhD since he was 26. I mean, he knows what the fuck he's talking about as far as how the raw science of these viruses work. And then there's these guys like my other friend who's in just bands. He lives in Highland Park. He's been a rocker since the 90s in L.A., and he thinks he knows that this is a government conspiracy to hold us down to see how far we will give up our rights. And, you know, that's the two sides. So I don't want to put a political post, but I want to just say, look, my friend, let's just call him JoJo. JoJo, look, man, this is a guy I've known since high school. I trust him. He's a PhD in science. He's got no political agenda. He's a total nerd. Again, he likes Rush and microbiology. And he's laying down the truth here on you on how this thing's going to behave and how it's going to run its course, similar to the way the Spanish flu did 100 years ago. But you can't talk to the people who are bent on believing that the government's trying to fuck us up. And we all know the government's trying to fuck us up. But how could it be a worldwide conspiracy? The Italian Prime Minister and Trump and the British Prime Minister and the New Zealand Prime Minister are all in cahoots together to see how far we can drive people into their hidey holes. I don't buy that. But I do know that the Spanish flu was a fucking bitch and took out about 1 million people. So, you know, in this country alone, it took almost 1 million people. So we have the technology and we hopefully have the smarts, you know. I mean, the bubonic plague, they're putting leeches on people and thinking they could flush dwarves out of your stomach to drive the boils away. You know, I think we know a little more than we did 100 years ago. But maybe not. Who knows? You know, maybe the Devo is a real thing. I believe in de-evolution.
I think it's more frightening to me that whatever James Cameron made up arbitrarily in the 80s, right?
Right.
Is now sort of a reality. And that's kind of freaky because then you're like, okay, what else did he think about that is right. Now happening? Yeah. I think that being online all day, or at least on Facebook all day, gives you the sense of, okay, I'm not really following actual news. I'm only following what I see here, and then there's right. No desire to look for other right. Reputable news sources.
Right.
They only read headlines.
Sure. Then there's people that put up stuff by like Q or Breitbart or, you know, or even like, or the left-wing equivalencies of those that are just whacked out bullshit, you know, opinion pieces. That's why I said I'd rather talk to people I know in real life who aren't reporters looking for a story or you know, sensationalists or provocateurs, you know, for sure.
Yeah, because it goes back to a snake oil salesman back in the old days. It's, sure. It's sort of the same thing. But I do think that it's no conspiracy on the part of all these leaders of countries to do something to control everyone. I think it is being used to definitely politicize it. It's just a virus. I mean, right. Just as being, it's not a conspiracy, but it is a virus that now people are using to politicize for their own agenda, or not politicize, but just use for their own agenda. Right. And that's a problem.
Sure. Sure. Of course. I mean, look, personally, if I was a leader of a country, I'm not good with details or with, you know, compartmentalizing things. I would just let the herd immunity take its toll. I wouldn't know how to handle it. I'm not going to tell people what to do, you know. Plus, there's, you know, look, our population's doubled since I was born. That's not a long time. And we've gone to, what, 8 billion almost? Or, I mean, that's... There's a reason these viruses come along. They're not here because, somebody made it in a lab. They're here for a reason. It's population genetics. You know, the mosquitoes are here to feed bats. You know, bats are here to give us viruses so we don't ruin the planet. Not that it's caused by a guy eating a bat. We all know it's kind of.
Well, you could also say leave the bats alone, and then maybe we won't get the viruses.
Precisely. Because, we have fucked over bats horrendously.
Because, I mean, who's going to be in a cave looking for bats to find out what viruses they have and say, I think I'm going to test this and then see what happens?
Well, you know, bats have been getting screwed since I was a boy. People talk about, you know, they're going to make a nest in your hair. Remember those old wives' tales? Get that bat out of the house. Yeah. It's going to nest in your hair. Like, if it did get in your hair and burrow in, you would just be like, oh, well, bat's nest.
Yeah.
I'm screwed.
Exactly.
You know? Yeah.
Now, you said that you have, you live here with your girlfriend and her
yeah,
two kids?
Yeah, we got a couple of fucklings, yeah.
Now, are you having to do any schoolwork with them?
Well, I mean, they're pretty good about it. Our youngest, she gets up early, gets on Zoom, they have meetings. I know sometimes those Zoom meetings are only like five or six kids. But she's pretty good about getting up. She's gets up before anybody and gets on Zoom, and then she's got these, you know, clicks, links to different learning sources like Zern, and they have about 50 million different names for these different educational sources online. But we have the occasion where, like, this morning I had to help her with some fractions, which I barely remember, you know. I'm at, like, the fourth grade level of math at best. And then the older kid, he's in high school. He goes to North Hollywood High. And, I mean, he's definitely not getting the education I think they would get if they were in school. Not just because it's self-regulated by the student, because the teachers are just like, there you go, you know, kind of thing. And we get report cards. We got a report card last week. So we have to kind of monitor and make sure they stay on the ball and they at least get their work done for the day. But it's crazy. He's in band. Our older kid's in band, and he did a thing where they each put in their own video of them in their room playing their instruments, and then the teacher kind of put them all together. And it actually worked out. He's in drumline, he's in jazz band, he's in concert band, and he plays bass guitar and trombone. So he's been doing a lot of music work. And we've been recording music at home. We did a little, my girlfriend's a puppeteer, and we did a puppet show. Actually finished filming it last night, and Enoch and I did the music for it. And that's going to be pretty good. It'll be on, it's actually going to be on, I'll do a plug. Go to Instagram, Puppet Bazaar. Look up Puppet Bazaar on Instagram, and you can find our videos there. We're going to have some puppet videos coming up. It's a brand new page on Instagram. We started it it's a pandemic page. And you can watch some puppet shows on there for free. Fun stuff. Tune into Puppet Bazaar to see our newest video. It should be up by the end of the week.
I feel that a lot of people with kids are now having to be, oh, shit, I don't remember how to do any of this.
Right.
You know, and that's got to be a challenge, or could be a challenge.
Right. Well, that's why it's great to have an older child with a younger child, because the older child, we have a ninth grader and a fourth grader. Ninth grader helps the fourth grader out with math. Everything else I can help out with, like history, social studies, English, that stuff's easy, reading comprehension. And most of the time, they don't have problems anyway. But the math is the kicker. Like, nobody remembers what a tangent is or a quadratic equation. Like, you kind of remember the name, isosceles, triangle, all these terms you remember as a kid, but you'd have to... You have to kind of brush up again to figure it out. So it's usually if our youngest has a problem with her math, we usually put the eldest on that job and reward him somehow for doing that. We can't do it.
I remember with algebra in having a mild case of dyslexia.
Right.
That all of a sudden these numbers and letters were in the math problems, and it screwed me all up. Yeah. It was not fun.
I mean, X is okay, but then X, Y, really? And then you add all these other numbers or all these other letters.
How could letters be in the math? Whatever. It just created a whole problem.
Look, when life hands you melons, you may just be dyslexic.
That's very true. That's very true. Have you had to go... Now, who in the house, you or your girlfriend or the kids, are going out for supplies?
I'm the main life risker as far as that goes. I don't mind. I kind of treat it as like, you know, there's Jawas, there's Tusken Raiders. I strap on the mask. I either get into my Datsun or onto my little Enduro off-roader bike, and I tool through the wasteland streets of Sun Valley, and I go to, like, you know, my two stops basically are CVS and grocery outlet with the occasional run to CVS. And really, here in Sun Valley, we're kind of fortunate as opposed to L.A., which has been kind of nuts. And a few times I've driven through L.A., you see lines of people outside of markets. Here in the up in the Valley, especially Sun Valley, you go to grocery outlet, and there isn't even a person at the register. I mean, it's just you're right through the line. It's like nothing. So I don't mind going out. It keeps me, you know, a little sane. You can do a little, you know, the runs once every, we go about once every 2 weeks, maybe once a week if we need to supplement some stuff. But I have a spray bottle. I was lucky enough to have a full bottle of isopropyl alcohol. And I just keep a spray bottle with me, and I just spray it on anything I touch or get near, you know, or like a grocery cart. Spray the shit out of the handle, spray it on any piece of food I pick up off the counter, and spray everything down with alcohol. So, you know, precautions are taken. But I am the runner. I'm the runner. And why not? I mean, I'd like to take the kids out with me. We were bandying about, actually, speaking of, like, being a dick and going to nature. The bioluminescent waves, I mean, we want to see those.
Yeah, those look really cool.
And we don't really even need to get out of the car, per se. We could probably just drive down to Long Beach and check those out. Or, you know, I'm definitely not going to Huntington Beach. I've seen pictures of the fuckery happening down there. And that's, yeah, I saw a sign. It was a picture of a guy holding the sign of Huntington Beach at the Big Rally this weekend. It says, COVID is fake and gay. That's the most hilarious. I mean, the guy's either like a total just taking the piss, or he's one of the most fucked up human beings on the planet, you know? Fake and gay. I immediately thought of that other, who's that provocateur? Milo Papadopoulos, what's his name?
Oh, right,
Milo
yeah.
Milo Stanislavulis.
Yeah.
And that guy's like, fake and gay. He's all over that. But now the COVID's fake and gay.
If it was one or the other, it'd be all right. But the combination of both is bad.
But if it's fake, it doesn't matter if it's gay or not. I mean, that's what I didn't get about the sign.
I don't know, but yeah, I guess it's one or the other, but when it's a combination of both, it wouldn't be so bad if it was fake or gay, but it's both.
Yeah, it's fake and gay.
It's terrible.
Yeah, let me see. Here, I'll show you a picture of this guy. It's pretty great. It's pretty great. Here you go. Look at that. And he's wearing khaki cargo shorts. Isn't that amazing?
The photo is real. I've seen the photo.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing. And it's right perfectly placed in front of that. Gavin Newsom Hitler
and he's
flag.
wearing sandals with his toes exposed. So that is already
that's not unacceptable.
Cool. Unacceptable.
Yeah, unacceptable.
How many shows for your band did you have? Well, you have two bands. You have Safari So Goody, which is a I guess kind of a steampunk band.
I call it a 20s punk rock.
So yeah, so kinda.
Yeah.
But without the sci-fi costumes.
Yeah. And we're not into the whole gears and brass thing. We're just more like straight up like Spike Jones kind of tribute, you know. But if Spike Jones played like, Violent Femmes and Southern Culture on the Skids type of send-up kind of folky, you know, folky punk.
Yeah, and they're a fun band. I really enjoy them. And I'm bummed that the part of it for me that, is frustrating is that I had a whole, for whatever reason, I didn't really book anything past May.
Right.
So I don't know why I did. Usually I'd book several months in advance, but I held off. And I really like the band that I was hoping to have them back, as well as your other band, which is Radioactive Chickenheads, which is completely different theatrically as well as musically.
We just missed a show this weekend at Alex's Bar. That was a tough one because I love playing Alex's. Best sound system in the area.
And who is that supposed to be with?
I don't know. It was a benefit show for some skater who's sick or dying just anytime we get a nod to play at Alex's Bar, I'll jump on it.
Oh, absolutely. It's a great place and they always have a good turnout down in Long Beach. For those of you who are not familiar with
Alex's Bar.
Alex's, but it maybe have seen the name online somewhere.
Great sound, good place, good drinks, good most of the time decent people.
And as far as your corporate shows, did you have to have any of those canceled?
Oh man, that's it's funny you should say that. I actually had a regular job, as you know, which will remain secret. I had a corporate job, like a regular job, a salary job, up until 2018 is when I got laid off, February 2018, and since then I've been kind of just piecemealing my work, and been very lazy about it. Unfortunate enough to be in a really horrific motorcycle accident where I got a little padding, not a lot, but enough to like be able to work part time for the last couple of years instead of full time. You know, living lean, but not working my ass off like I had been for a while. And what was this question again? I'm sorry, those mimosas are kicking in.
So one of us is having a few drinks, or maybe is knocked back a few.
It's Monday.
It's Monday. Well, is
you're
it
lucky
Monday?
I know the day.
Is it Monday? I don't even know the day anymore.
It's Monday. I know because I had to make sure the kids got up to do their goddamn work.
No, I asked you.
The corporate stuff corporate. I had to cancel. Yeah, I know a lot. Actually, I just after a couple of years of keeping it light on the work schedule, I kind of took a summer, not summer off, but I took it light because I had some padding. And I'm more of a grasshopper than an ant. You know, I'd like to hang out in a hammock and play a banjo rather than like gather corn for the anthill all year. So I took the time off, and now this summer I was just starting to get back into the groove. I had a ton of bookings. I had some good TV work lined up, some good work at the fairs, and a lot of just summer work. A lot of festivals, birthday parties, company picnics. I'm missing out on thousands of dollars of a lot of, again, off the record, a lot of under the table cashola, a lot of payola, you know, on the sly, which is my favorite kind, you know, cash money. But that's all gone, man, and it's too bad because I finally decided to dig in my heels and start my career back up again. Because at first I thought maybe after losing that sweet gravy train job I had, that I would just change careers and maybe do something completely different, not clown around anymore, not be a circus freak, not be a carny, and maybe do something on the more serious side. And I said, well, yeah, fuck it. I, being a carny's treated me all right up until now. I'll go back to what I know. And as soon as I did, then this hit, and it kind of just canceled out a lot of dough, which is unfortunate.
I have noticed that with a lot of people, that a lot of musicians or performers, they've now taken their act or part of their act online, and everyone is doing, and it's just, it's not the same.
It sucks. Zoom is clunky. Instagram, clunky. It's just, it doesn't have the same feel. As a musician, I won't even attempt to do it. But as a performer, variety performer, magician, juggler, comedian, I need to have those people in front of me to even, one, do a good show, and two, for it to even translate. They have to be in my midst. I have to be able to see them, acknowledge them, and play off of their reactions. You can't play off of reactions on Zoom. It just doesn't work. You don't hear them. You know, it's hard enough to feel an audience in person, let alone feeling one on a laptop or a phone. It's to me, I know there's a lot of performers doing it. I know a lot of the social media sites that I subscribe to that try to get you gigs are pushing to have that happen. Things like Gig Salad and whatever, Party Pop, and those kind of sites are like, hey, it Zoom's a new Zoom party, Zoom. And it's like, no, I'm not doing it. It just doesn't work for me. And I can't do it. It's like the pro wrestling. Pro wrestling without an audience, that's the whole point. You got to have the marks there to get the heat, to get the pop, to get the reaction, and that's what drives your performance. Doing it in front of nobody is just dumb. I mean, it's like the allegory of the cave. You're like performing for a shadow, not even a shadow.
When I watch, as an example, Jimmy Kimmel, and he'll come out and he'll do his material, and it is funny, but without that energy of the live audience, you're like, I don't care. I just won't even watch it. Turn it off. But
it's dumb.
It's getting to the point where before this all happened, when performers would do something on the internet, such as stage it or Instagram Live or Facebook Live, it was unique and it was kind of cool.
Right, kind of.
But at least it was sort of a supplement to going to do something else or seeing them live in your city. Versus now live with nothing.
Right.
And now, you know, if you were to stream a performance, you know, at least you're seeing the audience at the performance. Right. And now you don't get any of that.
Right.
And now it's the point where everyone and their brother, who has some or no talent, is doing a show. And it's...
Yes, very many of those. There's a whole site on Facebook about, like, pandemic performances, and just anybody can get up there and do it. So you're getting a lot of crap. But I will say, Puppet Bazaar on Instagram already has a few performances up there. And those are great because you can just watch it and the puppet doesn't need to really react to the crowd. It's just a good time. There's no interaction. You don't have to applaud. The puppet can't hear you. Just go and watch it and have a good time. Also, I will recommend Shit Show Bingo every Saturday. It's Christopher Wonder. And that's less a performance. I mean, there is some performance involved, but mostly it's just bingo. Anybody there likes bingo and drinking? It's basically a drinking game with bingo involved. And it's cheap. $10 buy-in for 5 bingo games. You can win prizes that he'll hand-deliver to your door or mail to you if you're out of the city of Los Angeles. Shit Show Bingo. Look it up on Facebook. You can play every Saturday night. Fun times. We've been doing it every week. It's a good little diversion, and it's fun times.
See, that's interactive. So it's interactive. a little bit
you're
different.
You're playing bingo.
You can
win stuff. It's not just watching a performance and donating money.
Right.
You know, you can watch you can watch the bingos. You can watch people. Friends of yours might show up on the gallery. You can hang out, talk. You can Zoom. You can text while you're watching the game. playing the game. And like I said, there's prizes, fabulous prizes. You can win everything from cock-shaped corn dogs delivered to your door hot and fresh to giant plushy animals from the fair to T-shirts. Somebody won a vintage Ouija board last week. I mean, you name it, he's got good prizes.
Oh, that's
so cool. Yeah. Shit show bingo. It's fun times.
Now,
who doesn't like bingo?
Now, with your girlfriend and the kids in the house and everyone kind of being around all the time, except when you're at the store,
right.
Is that sort of
difficult? Yeah. Oh, I'll yell, Andy. Don't make me fucking yell. I don't know if your little taser mic can handle it here. Now, yeah, there's been some butting of heads, of course. But as far as most families go, we're not too bad. I can see, I know other families, friends of mine who I can't imagine them going this long as it is. Anybody want to get a profession aside from making masks, which I think is probably almost run its course by now. I know a lot of girls making money on Etsy selling designer masks, you know. Can name a handful of them right now are making pretty decent money. A couple thousand a week even doing that, making masks. Working their fingers at the moment, but they're still, you know, it's an industry. Divorce lawyer. Get it. Get your degree. If you're in law school and you're finishing up on Zoom, switch from whatever you were doing to divorce law, because that's going to be a big industry, I would think. Moving trucks, moving companies. Well, people are going to be kicked out. In fact, we're probably going to be getting kicked out of our place. Our landlord proposed a $700 rent increase, which is about 30% of the rent we pay right now. That was about 2 months before this pandemic hit. In late December, he gave us and we were already kind of like battling him over that as it is with this, you know, rent hike. We're like, we're not going to pay that. We're going to fight you on it. And then the pandemic hit and we decided, well, we're going to keep paying rent. The increase is supposed to take hold April 1st. April Fool's. We thought it was a joke at first. But then we decided just to pay what we normally pay, which was our agreed rent when we signed a lease for. And of course, after we paid that first month's rent in April with the proposed $700 increase, which we said we're not going to pay, he sent us a letter 2 days later saying, if you don't pay the balance within 3 days, we're going to take possession of your property, which is basically the start of the eviction process. So this asshole has the fucking smallest of hearts to say, I'm still going to propose a 30% rent increase during a pandemic when everybody's laid off. We even told him, look, if we're not working, we'll still pay our agreed to rent from our original lease agreement. But there's no way now in the face of a pandemic we're going to give you even think about giving you another $700 a month. Yeah, shit.
Now, that's an interesting point because we are in Los Angeles, for those of you who are not in Los Angeles. The mayor of Los Angeles, as well as the governor of California, has said that landlords, property owners can't evict people.
Right. Until this is over.
Until then they can put out
the eviction notice. Correct. But then the courts are going to be so backed up.
Right.
Who the fuck?
Now, while for me personally, while I have the option, I guess, of not paying rent, I am paying rent because
we're paying rent.
I don't want to be in a position where I have that to be able to be used against me or you used against you.
Or have to pay it all back once it's, you know, when you're accruing debt. You know,
sure. So I do know some people are not paying and I know other people are paying or they're paying some and it just, it, I suppose I've lost sleep over it because I never know like where my money is going to come from now because I have essentially been laid off. Right. And I'm doing a side hustle just to be able to pay my bills, but it kind of sucks. I do it, but it sucks. But I'm lucky enough to have it, but I don't think everyone is that lucky.
Right.
And I think that because of your accident and because your girlfriend had been working and you had saved, better position than some, but I mean, other people are not as lucky.
Right.
And
there's people that are really lucky that make good money and have or own their own house. You know, and the banks, I think, are easier to deal with because with the rental situation, it's like a pyramid thing. So the landlord, most landlords who have mortgages or homeowners who have mortgages, I think most banks are willing to put your payments further down the line and say, okay, once it starts up again, you're going to pay a little more each month for your mortgage or pay it on the back end of your mortgage loan. And even landlords who are getting that treatment, because banks are getting bailed out more than anybody, are able to pass that kind of same deal to their tenants. But when you have a scumfuck slumlord landlord like I have, he's just digging it to us. Whether I mean we could, it doesn't matter that we're people. We could might as well be chess pieces. He doesn't give a shit. It's all about cash flow, obviously. Because I think his feeling is that, well, I proposed this rent increase in December. That was well before the pandemic started. So we're gonna just keep. We're just gonna go with that, and we're like, no, fuck you, you know, like having a little bit of a heart, man. At least not threatening an eviction when you know that that's not gonna happen until this is over. And it's stressful enough to, with low income nobodies like we are, to think about where your economic future is headed, without some dickhead who can dangle a sword of Damocles above your head and say, well, guess what? I'm going to go ahead with that bullshit increase, and I'm going to make you worry about that every night. So about a week ago, I think my lady and I were just like, you know what? Fuck it. Who cares what happens? If we do get evicted during this time, you know how many other people are going to be sharing in that shit credit and that shit eviction record that you're going to have? I mean, thousands of people in this neighborhood alone are going to be dealing with that same reality that we are. I think when it comes down to it, a future landlord or a future loan officer is going to see it and say, oh, but you got evicted during the pandemic. Oh, well, okay, well, whatever, you know.
I mean, where we are right now, we're surrounded by, and you can hear the construction vehicle.
Yeah, there's an apartment building going on.
Yeah, we're surrounded by, we're in a single family home with a backyard and a gazebo, I guess you could call it, or a little like outdoor bar area that's covered.
In Scotland, they call it a sitteroo.
A sitteroo. Well, yeah. There's three apartment buildings that we can see from here.
Yeah.
And, you know, this is a thing.
Two of which my landlord owns.
This is the thing in LA. Yeah. You know, they're taking away these cool kind of unique.
Well, you're not allowed to own a house or build a house in LA anymore. If you topple a house or buy a piece of land that isn't built upon, you cannot build a single family dwelling anymore in the LA city. You can't do it. It's a law. You have to build a multiple family dwelling. That's just a law now.
And that's happening. So most likely the goal would be here.
An apartment.
To have a private way where they're stacked with a central driveway and garage.
Nice big yard.
Yeah. I hate those kind of constructions.
Across the street, next to the apartments that my landlord also owns across the street, is a house, a single family dwelling. And behind it, there's some track houses, about six units, I think. Well, those were slated for destruction. Nobody's lived there since I've been here for over a year. And, well, guess what? The first week of the pandemic, guess what happened to that property across the street owned by my landlord that was slated for destruction? It caught on fire. Imagine that.
Of course.
And they blamed it on crackheads because, you know, that's an easy one. Oh, it's the crackheads. They lit it on fire. But, you know, I mean, wouldn't it be great to just have a whole boatload of insurance money to help you demolish, some housing to put up your new apartment building, you know? So, and I think that's the same thing for this property. We got, about a half an acre here we're sitting on? I think that's going to be probably an eightplex. I think they could fit on here, I would think, at least. Eight apartments would fit on here.
Yeah, because they'll go up. Versus like
maybe three stories.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or maybe two stories with a parking facility underneath. I think you have to do parking right now. I hope that's part of the law.
I don't even know. Yeah. I just don't particularly care for that sort of you see them. I see them bound where I live. I see them popping up and
I don't like
just,
apartments. I never have.
It's depressing.
Yeah, I don't want to live in an apartment. Again, I'm a grasshopper, not an ant. I want to live in an ant hill. But this place is great. I mean, for those of you not in L.A., we're paying $2,500 a month for a three-bedroom, which is a little around market price for this neighborhood, maybe a little below, 100 or two below, maybe, because it is a disrepair. So I'm going to say it's a market price. But my landlord wants to raise it to $3,200 a month. So that's a 28% increase. And according to old law, it's possible to do because it's a single-family household, but it's a loophole. I think if we went to court, especially now with the pandemic, and a judge heard that he was jacking them up 28% during a pandemic when everybody was out of work, we'd walk with some relocation fee. But anyway, the point is, I don't want to go to court. I don't want to battle some greed head asshole, you know, who thinks he needs another $700. Look at that, hummingbird. Another $700 a month from a working family, you know. And I'm not going to cry, oh, we're performers, we don't make that much, because that was our choice. But anybody else in our position would be doing the same thing. You know, that nobody makes a lot of money in L.A., really, unless you're, you know, in the industry or you're in finance or real estate. Real estate's the big one. And really, the laws suck for the renter because almost every legislator, I would say 100% of legislators that make laws about housing are landowners. They're not renters. And two, many of them are actually real estate owners who make money on either selling and buying real estate or renting out real estate. So it's not going to change because a bunch of, you know, fuckheads own land who are making laws that concern renters. So LA's kind of shot, man. It used to be a fun place. A lot of land, a lot of affordable housing. And now it's kind of turned into a shit show. Maybe the pandemic will round shit out. Maybe we'll have the earthquake everybody's been pining for. And maybe that'll happen, and that'll scare the rest of the schmucks out of town. I'm hoping a bunch of, like, you know, out of college weenies will just, you know, slink back to Idaho and Wisconsin and New Hampshire when this pandemic really, you know, digs its heels in, and then the housing will go back to a little bit back to some sanity, you know. Like, before this thing hit, we were looking for another house because we just wanted to get away from our slumlord. And you look at these properties that are just pieces of shit, lipstick on a pig, and then they're raising the rent up to, you know, almost $4,000 a month for a three-bedroom. And, you know, we want our kids to have a decent home and be near where they want to go to school. And I'm not even talking about private schools. Of course, I'm talking about LAUSD, you know. But, yeah, LA's a shit show.
What do you hope for once this is over? Do you hope to getting back to work and playing music again, bowling?
Of course. Bowling, music, seeing friends again, and hopefully a decent enough economy to where we can actually make some money. Because, I mean, really, the residual effect of this could be way worse than what we're having right now. I mean, this is just kind of like we're still kind of floating, and it's not that bad. You got, you know, your whatever you have from your severance pay if you got laid off or unemployment. Or, you know, whatever you might, little you might have saved up. Once you keep just spending money on food and rent for an indeterminate amount of time, if it goes to 2021, then it's going to be some times. And you run out of money. You maybe get evicted, like we're looking at, and many other people are looking at. And then you're shot. You got an eviction notice. Your credit's shot. You got no money. So what I'm looking forward to is hopefully the economy springs right back in. Investors are like, yeah, let's get this shit rolling again. It's probably a dream because most people with money hold on to it. But it'd be great if people just wanted to reinvest back in to get the ball rolling and jumpstart the economy. And hopefully the rent has either stabilized or gone down to some sort of sane semblance of reality. Like, get it, because LA is not – I read a horrible stat before the pandemic hit. There were two open rental units, like rooms, available for every homeless person in Los Angeles. And the number was going up. So that means landlords are so greedy, they either want market price or nothing at all. That's their attitude, which is bullshit. But look, you own a property and you got to get that $2,000 instead of getting $1,500 a month, then you're a sociopath. You'd rather see people without affordable housing and get your market price, then you're not. Yeah, I guess the business of renting apartments is not a humanitarian one.
Well, yeah.
But it deals with humans, so it should be.
When people hear the term market rate, that doesn't necessarily mean it's affordable.
Right. Market rate is unaffordable.
Right, exactly. Right. And if I see another building that gets put up with says luxury apartment, there's nothing luxury about an apartment.
Like,
apartment.
There's a vegetable vegetable scrubber attachment on the sink in the kitchen. You can pull the thing right out, and it's got a shower or a jet. You can adjust it. It's stainless steel. It's pretty sweet, man.
But apartments are not made to be luxury. That's like a kind of a...
Laundry hookups. Not machines, hookups. That's luxury.
If you're paying that much for an apartment, you should own a house.
Right.
Like, it just doesn't make one bit of sense.
And you live in North Hollywood, which is just stupid. I mean, you know, North Hollywood is just like, okay, the smell's gone from actual Hollywood, but it's still Hollywood adjacent. It's not great. You know, And yeah, the apartments in your neighborhood are stupid.
So talk about bowling. I'd like to discuss that a little bit because that's how we know each other.
Well, as you can see, when you walked in the backyard, I did set up a little bowling alley in the backyard on the sidewalk, paved sidewalk we have here. It's just a 6-pin bowling. Actual, you know, 4-pound pins. A couple of 10-pound balls. I don't want to wreck the yard or kill any squirrels. So it's doable. I really do miss bowling, though. As any bowlers out there, you know the addictive quality of just getting one of those in-the-pocket strikes where it just explodes into pure joy. And our league we're in, if you guys don't know, Bob, it's a bowling league here in L.A. Can I name the league?
Oh, absolutely.
L.A. Gutter Punks. We meet every Sunday. We listen to good music. We drink a lot, eat some snacks, and develop some camaraderie and some friendships and have a few laughs and some fun and try to get better at bowling. And it's one of my favorite things in life. It's pretty great, and can't wait to get back to it. Unfortunately, to go bowling, I guess, is either the backyard or move to Georgia. And I certainly don't want to go to Georgia.
Yeah, no.
Just waiting out the bowling. I hope it happens sooner than later. You know, those Corbin Freebie games are just wasting away on the cards.
Yeah, I know. I
looked at that card and I was like, I'm a cheapskate. I'm like, oh, I'm just pissing away free games here. Hope they honor him in months to come.
Well, I have texted the GM and I said, hey, you know, just let me know when you go in there and turn on the machines just to make sure that they still work. I won't say anything and I'll just show up and it so happens I'll bowl a few games.
Yeah. Roll a few test balls just to keep the gears greased.
Yeah, because, you know, those machines can wear out if you don't use them after.
Exactly. You got to keep them oiled up, keep them greased. Same with the lanes. You don't want the lanes to dry out. You got to oil them every couple
weeks. Yeah, exactly.
Every couple weeks.
Yeah, that's been the most frustrating thing for me.
I'd imagine.
As not only as a bowler, but as far as like putting on the shows afterwards, yeah. I finally, after years and years and years of putting on shows, to where you would lose your ass or you maybe broke even or you'd end up paying out because you didn't make whatever. It finally was at the point where I'm like, wow, this is great because it's a perfect situation. I had the perfect situation. And the league was great. My bowling was great. I know a lot of people were improving, which, yes, it's a sport where you can drink heavily and still participate, but I know a lot of people had been improving and they were really excited about what they had accomplished to date, and then it just was gone.
And our team was in the top three, you know, halfway into the season, we were in the top three, you know. I split on your grave, was doing great. And, and then, you know, just victory was snatched out of the jaws of defeat for us.
Absolutely. Pandemic. Well, it was, you know,
great.
Aside from the team that was in first, Chip's Gutter Crew.
They're great.
They're great, but yeah, they just annoy me.
They're consistently great.
It's always nice when you beat them.
Yeah.
You know, but yeah, we were all like kind of vying for that top spot.
Cesar is the best.
No, he's great.
He's hilarious.
No, he's great. He's funny.
John's a dick, though.
John Hernandez? Yeah, I'm not a fan. I'm not a fan of John. Or that Ever is kind of...
Ever's a... Yeah.
Yeah, he's just not cool. But, you know, they're fun, and they're always fun. Like, there's a lot of fun people in that league that you haven't seen. And I think when you think about who you haven't seen versus who you see on Zoom or...
Right.
Or what's that other one? House Party or wherever.
God, House Party, Jesus.
It's like the last thing I want to do is be in a house party where everyone's talking over each other and then you can't get a word in edgewise. So you're just sitting there watching and you're like, okay, click.
Yeah, the bowling, the missing out on the friends, hanging out. Because I'm a real social guy to begin with. I don't like going to bars. I know a lot of people in that league are bar folk. But for me, if there isn't an activity, I know you're not a drinker. So bars are irrelevant to you unless it's a show.
But I'm in bars 90% of my life.
It's a show.
Right.
Right. So for me, I would not go to a bar. Like, friends will say, I'm having a birthday at my bar. I'm having a birthday party. I'm like, that's not really a party. Like, a party's at your house. Right? Or like somebody else's house. You invite somebody to a place that has $12 cocktails for your birthday. Well, guess what? You're not getting a present. So you're going to spend $50 to get drunk.
You talked about your, you mentioned your website. Or not your website, your Instagram.
I do have a website, though.
Well, tell us about your Instagram again.
LaffyPants.com.
Okay.
But there is an Instagram, LaffyPants at Instagram. There's Little Laffy at Instagram. There's Safari's a Goodie at Instagram. There's Radioactive Chicken Heads on Instagram. As well as Facebook, there's a Laffy Pants on Facebook. There's a Safari's a Goodie page on Facebook. There's a Radioactive Chicken Heads page. And really, you might want to check out the Radioactive Chicken Heads. We're actually in the midst of this horrible atrocity of this pandemic. We are shooting this augmented reality video with Lazy Bones, a famous rapper from Bone Thugs and Harmony. We're doing a joint with him, a cover of a song you know well. It's a Rockwell joint called Somebody's Watching Me. Came by chance. Our lead Carrot from the Carrot Top from Ray Chicken Heads is working in an augmented reality studio right now in Culver City. And limited, of course, production there right now. But they were doing a video for Bone Thugs. And Carrot Top was mixing our video that was been released. You can watch it on YouTube. It's actually featuring Jerry Casale from Devo. Speaking of de-evolution, Jerry Casale from Devo is starring in our video, the cover of Somebody's Watching Me by Rockwell. He plays the Phantom of the Pizzeria. It's kind of a parody of the Phantom of the Paradise from way back. You guys probably know that movie with Schmelson and, you know, and Paul Williams and such. Anyway, so Carrot Top's working in the studio, and Lazy Bones is in there because they're going to be doing a video for Bone Thugs. They're developing an app where you can do this augmented reality 3D kind of vision of Bone Thugs concerts. Anyhow, Bone Thugs had worked out a version of Somebody's Watching Me in their studio in North Hollywood 2 days before they came to film this video at this augmented reality studio. And at the time they showed up, Carrot Top was mixing down some of the final touches or polishing up or posting our video of Somebody's Watching Me. And they said, yo, like that, we just did a version of that song. And Carrot Top was like, well, yeah, well, it's on our album, our Tales from the Coop. As our latest album, Ray Chicken Heads. And that's on our album. And they said, well, man, we got to do a joint. So that's it. First collaboration. I hope it's going to be called Chicken Bones in Harmony. We'll see. That'd be great. But it's Ray Chicken Heads and Bone Thugs teaming up for a rendition of Somebody's Watching Me. Look for it. But in the meantime, go to YouTube and check out the Radioactive Chicken Heads version of Somebody's Watching Me video featuring Jerry Casale from Devo. You'll enjoy it. It's a larf.
So I will be posting all of the links in the description of this episode so you can find them easily.
Great.
Why don't you just give us a final thought to close this out and where they can find you if you haven't already mentioned it?
Okay. I'm not going to do any more plugs. I feel like I've plugged enough holes in this conversation.
It's like the Tonight Show.
It's like you guys know Carson. Radioactive Chicken Head, Safari Sagoody, Laffy Pants, Puppet Bazaar. That's a quick lineup. But what you ought to take out of this whole pandemic is that, one, our system's a scam. You don't need to work 40 fucking hours a week, and we've proven that by being where we are right now, as well as most jobs can be done from home. And the only reason they want you there at work is to keep an eyeball on you, okay? Anybody mature enough and smart enough and responsible enough can work from home, do the same amount of benefit for the millionaires who own their companies, and get paid the same without having to fight traffic in LA, make the world a shittier place by crowding it up and polluting it. Stay at home and work. That's what computers are for. Take that away. Two, people, look, just relax. Enjoy life. It sounds trite, but smell the roses. Don't be so hectic to work. And really, having, you know, a brand new car, a palatial house, and having sex with beautiful people is really, it's way overrated. Find your happiness, what you want to do. Don't let people tell you what you need to have to be happy in this country. And it's really, I'm going to say this country, because mostly America is where it's at as far as, you know, grotesque capitalism and greed. Greed is not a virtue. Let's remember that, okay? Billionaires are sociopaths. Remember that. There's no way around it. You got $1 billion, you're a sociopath. I don't care how you cut it. If you think you have a right to have $1 billion, you're justifying it through evil, evil thought, and you're a sociopath. And I challenge anybody to debate me on that, okay? You don't need that kind of money. So just remember, money ain't it, man. It's happiness. And I know it's hard to say if you're hungry, but really, greed is ruining the planet. And on a lighter note, radioactive chicken heads. They're a larf. They'll cheer you up. They'll definitely make you not think about those sociopathic billionaires that are ruining humanity.
What's the first thing you're going to do the day after the stay-at-home order is lifted?
Same thing. I'm not going to rush out. When they were like, oh, everybody's buying toilet paper, I'm like, I don't give a shit. I mean, you know, who cares? Go buy all the toilet paper. Have fun with it, you know? I just wanted to TP somebody's house when I heard that. But, you know, I'm not going to rush out as soon as, you know, I'm not the guy that's going to rush out to get the album the day it comes out or wait in line around the block to buy a pair of fucking sneakers the day they come out. The day they open up the world, the world's going to be there the day after they open up and the week after and the month after. I'll check it out once everybody gets bored of going outside and realizes that they're too lazy and dumb to even appreciate walking down a trail and finding a sassafras leaf or a stink bug. I'll wait because the stink bugs are going to be around after they get done trampling all the poppies. I'll come back and check it out once everything blooms again. One, two.